Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, July 30th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 35, the third paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism through one paragraph ending, "For whom he had a deep affection." Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Kathy M., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Shelley E., Tamara C., and Luann C. The reference number for Monday, July 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,611. That's 21611. And for this morning, Tuesday, July 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,613. That's 21613. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Kathy M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kathy M., recovered just for today in Michigan. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I hope everyone has a nice day.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 35, the third paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism through one paragraph ending, for whom he had a deep affection, commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Shelley E. to read and then share with us.
Oops, sorry. I was a little slow on the uptake. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. The Big Book, page 35, last paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. He made a beginning. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost through drinking. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and in a serious condition. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept on. Moreover, he would lose his family, for whom he had a deep affection. Thank you for letting me do service. I'm honored to have this paragraph. When I looked at this, and I was told last night that I had this paragraph, the first thing I saw was a circle, and the circle was around the word but, which is right in the middle of the paragraph. And for me, it tells me, you know, how important it is. But he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And on the side in the margin, I have written, the key is the spiritual life for progression. When I was thinking about this morning, what I would talk about or what I had to say about this paragraph, it took me back to my Ebby and my group of OA fellows the first moment I entered the room. And they sat me down, and they told me what they knew about compulsive eating. I was flabbergasted. To tell you the honest truth, I'd never been in the rooms. I knew nothing about it. And all that time, I thought it had been my weakness. I just had no idea that it could be an addiction. And interesting enough, I come from an addictive family. Truly, I was the elephant in the room. All of my children are in program, not OA. And I couldn't figure out where they got it. So anyway, come to find out, now I know. And then the next sentence, he made a beginning. That was my beginning. And if you're here, you have a beginning, whether it was a long time ago or whether it's today. We all make a beginning. And from there, our story unfolds. For me, I was given the Vision Through You phone number that very day. So I count myself very fortunate. I came to the program late, and apparently God thought I had no time to waste. He gave me the phone. I got that phone number that very first day. I came home from that meeting. I got on the recording, and I have never looked back. It has been, you know, a godsend for me. As I progressed through the paragraph, I thought I saw he had lost enough through drinking. And it reminded me of all the time I lost with my family, all the time that I went to all these fun family vacations that I watched and having a good time. And, you know, at the time, I guess I was, but I never got to participate and do a lot of those things with my kids because of my weight, or because I was not even my weight, but also because my focus was always on what we were going to have next, you know, food-wise, how I could get what I wanted next. I was never present for my family. So anyway, that's pretty much what I have to say about this paragraph. I'm very grateful to Vision for You. If this is your beginning, or if this is your 15th beginning, keep going forward. We're all here, and we all have a little bit about what we know about overeating, and we're more than welcome to share it with you and to welcome you into the fold. So with that, I'll pass, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, Shelly E., for getting us started. I'll now take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Denise.
Cheryl S.
Was that Denise N?
Denise G as in George.
Oh, Denise G. Wonderful. Okay, and who else?
Cheryl S.
Cheryl S.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie.
Lynette W.
Who was it, W?
Lynette. Lynn with a T-H.
Lynette?
Yes.
Lynette H.
W.
I'm sorry, Lynette W. Very good. And who is Deb E? Did I hear?
Yes.
Okay. That's anyone it. Else? All right. Vanessa. Let's go with, who is that? Vanessa?
Yes, that's it. Thanks.
Vanessa G? Okay. Perfect. Wonderful lineup here. Let's go with Denise G, Cheryl S, Joan Marie M, Lynette W, Deb E, and Vanessa G. Denise G, please go ahead and get us started.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Donnie?
I sure can.
Well, good morning. My name is Denise G, as in George, and I am a compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service. I love hearing your voice, Donnie. I love this paragraph, and I can relate to it so much because he knew that he was, with his disease of being an addict, and I knew this, that I was a compulsive overeater, yet I continued to relapse. And what it says here, I failed to enlarge my spirituality in this program and work with others. And, you know, I've been there so many times, and I'm so done with doing the shame thing. And working with others is a part of my recovery, but I cannot transmit something I don't have. So, you know, I work for that. I am ready to sponsor now. And, you know, I'm watching the Olympics. It's all going on now. And I see these people stumble through their sports, and they get up and they go on with whatever they need to do. And I think, this is fabulous. This is what I've done. You know what? I stumble, I get up, and I, you know, go on. You know, I don't want to go back. I need to continue coming to these rooms and listening to fellows before me and what they have done, and that's what I want, and that's what I'm getting through working the steps of this program. So I'm so grateful for these rooms and the shares that I continually hear on this line, that there is hope, and I don't give up, and I have peace and happiness today. What a blessing. So I'll pass at that, and everybody have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise G. from California. Cheryl S., it's your turn, followed by Joan Marie M.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater for today. And in this paragraph, for so long, you know, it starts out and it says, they worked with him, he made a beginning, and his family was reassembled, he began to work as a salesman, blah, blah, blah. So, and that's some time. Some time had passed. So, but then it says, all went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And he found himself drunk again. And for me, I always wanted them to say, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life because, and then they went on and gave the reasons that he failed to expand his spiritual life. I needed the instructions. But I recently just worked the steps again as a result of a relapse. And I finally got the answer for myself, what that means. So to me, the program is kind of broken up into two parts, and maybe even three, steps 1 through 3, steps 4 through 9, steps 10, 11, and 12. So when you get to 4 through 9, you know, you've made a beginning, and you're, by the time you're done with step 9, you know, you have the promises, you've had a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening, either quick or it's slow. But you've cleaned up all of the past, and you're not fighting, you know, the food and all that stuff anymore. You're abstinent. So what happens next? And so I think after step 9, you're at a really critical place, because steps 10, 11, and 12 are what is about expanding your spiritual fitness and your spiritual life. And if I don't do those things, then something's going to come up and I'm going to get some crazy idea and I'll eat again. And to know now that as hard as I worked steps 4 through 9, steps 1 through 3, they just kind of happened for me because I was beat up, you know, and this is, I would do anything. Steps 4 through 9 was the work. And once done, you know, I cleaned up the past, but I have to stay in 10, 11, and 12. I have to keep working. I've got to do those 10 steps. I've got to do the prayer and meditation. I've got to work with others in sponsoring and living these principles in all of my affairs. I've got to work just as hard and probably even harder than I did in steps 4 through 9 if I want to keep this and if I want to keep spiritually fit. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Joan Marie M., please share with us, followed by Liveth W. Star 1, Joan Marie.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard now?
Yes, you sure can.
Okay, thank you, Dawn. Well. What a powerful program. Powerful program and a paragraph, and you know, every one of them speaks to my recovery. I'm Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God, what we lacked, what I lacked, was power. And so I have to be connected with that power every single day. How do I do that? I start my day off with that connection. And then I go on with that, with connecting with my sponsees and talking about this power greater than myself and how it worked for me and how it didn't work for me. And also, it also was the spiritual part, but also the physical part. I had to let go of those alcoholic foods. And how did I do that? I asked God. And God took away the compulsion and the obsession away. And now I have freedom from the bondage to food, the obsession with food, and everything that entails with this disease. I am so grateful and so good to hear two familiar voices, one from the past and one from the future, one that's in the now. So God bless you all, and have a beautiful, blessed day, and talk to your higher power today. Amen. Thank you, Joy.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Linveth, I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that W. It's your turn to share, please, followed by Deb E. Can't read my own writing, sorry.
Thank you for your service. My name is Lynneth W. That's L-Y-N-N-E-T-H, like Kenneth, but with an L-Y, in Georgia. I'm recovered by the grace of God today. What came to mind in this paragraph when I listened to it was how our program is different from a diet. At first, he was just treating the physical part of his problem and abstaining from drinking, but he wasn't addressing the spiritual malady, and that's such an important part of my program. I have 2.5 years just about of recovery, and if I don't take that prayer and meditation time in the morning, first thing, I feel it. I feel not quite right. I feel a little bit off during the day. And, you know, when my schedule gets off, I have to work extra hard to make sure that I keep that prayer and meditation time, you know, sacred first thing in the morning. Another thing that came to mind was hearing other shares about encouraging, you know, others, if this is your 15th time restarting or your new beginning or your first time coming to OA. I kept in mind when I came back to recovery is that the time is going to pass anyway. What do I have to lose? I was so miserable, I was willing to do whatever my sponsor said. I picked a sponsor by hearing on Vision, someone that told what sounded like my story, and asked her to be my sponsor, and I was so miserable. I had tried all the things, done all the research. I was ready to do whatever it took, and I knew that time was going to pass anyway. Why not do something different? Why not step out of my comfort zone? Because being comfortable was not getting me recovered. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynneth W. from Georgia. Deb E., it's your turn, followed by Vanessa G. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 35, that third paragraph, starting with, we told him what we knew of alcoholism, through one paragraph ending, for whom he had a deep affection. And after Deb E. and Vanessa, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Deb. Deb E.
Thanks. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I was just talking about this with a sponsee earlier today, this just make a start, you know, those are my words. He made a beginning. And to me, it's like, just make a start. My perfectionism has prevented me so many times from just starting things. And what I've learned in this program is I'm going to be reworking the steps over and over anyways. It doesn't matter. I'll, it, you know, I'm never going to graduate from this. I'm never going to get to a place where I don't need this program and I don't need these steps on a daily basis. So I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not looking to like do my best ever, you know. I'm just looking to continuously grow. And what I tell my sponsees when, you know, I'm working with them and either they relapse or they've had a slip, I'm like, you're not back at the beginning. You're not. I don't believe that anyone's ever back at square one, because you can't unlearn the stuff you learned. There's, you know, I remember in the beginning when I would go to meetings and I'd still come home and binge. It just wasn't the same anymore. Like it took all the fun out of it. Not that, you know, it was that much fun to binge, but there was this like thrill and excitement for me, usually just the anticipation of it. And then once I started eating, everything fell apart. But like nothing goes to waste. Everything I hear, every story I hear, every time somebody shares something with me, it goes in there, you know? And I can't, I can ignore it, I guess. I can try to forget it. But what I've noticed is it tends to like just plant little seeds. And there was something else I wanted to say. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. That's what it was. I remember like for a long time just struggling with like the words when people would say, this is a disease that's progressive. And I'd be like, how is it progressive? Like I just wasn't buying it. I wasn't believing it. But then it finally dawned on me one day, I just had this epiphany and I realized that I have to do so much more now than I did in the beginning to maintain my spiritual connection and my abstinence. And that to me is proof that this disease is progressing in the background. You know, we like to say in this program that's doing push-ups in the background, and I really believe that to be true. And that's why I need to continuously enlarge my spiritual life to kind of keep pace with it, or hopefully keep a few steps ahead. Thank you. I'll just wrap it up with this. Like it's something that over time has developed into something I enjoy doing. You know, I love enlarging my spiritual life, even when it's really challenging. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Vanessa G., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Hi, everybody. This is the New Mexico, recovered from this horrible disease. And, you know, today with this paragraph and with, you know, the people that are on the line, it makes me really rather emotional. When I came to this particular meeting, there were people on the line who not only talked about their recovery, but actually were available to help me with mine. And it's an amazing story, you know, when I think about it. You know, those of you who have listened to me for a while know that it took me a long time to get here to the vision meetings. And when I got here, one of the first people that spent some time with me and told me what they knew of alcoholism, you know, compulsive overeating, and the answer that they had found here was our lead share. She saved my life. That, you know, definitely someone who saved my life. This morning on the early morning meeting, there was a gentleman who was sharing over and over again about the how sponsorship enlarges our spiritual life. And when I had someone ask me whether they, you know, were to sponsor them, even though I wasn't completely through my ninth step, he told me to sponsor. He told me I was ready. He saved my life. Those of you who listen to me know that I give this fellowship, you know, this fellowship that, you know, spreads all over the world. You know, I have friends all over the world. You know, great credit for bringing the message to me. Thank God they were enlarging their spiritual life.
thank God they were helping, you know, other alcoholics find the answer that they had found. I know that, you know, this story is mostly about the thinking that precedes the first drink or the first bite, but I just really wanted to focus in on that enlargement of the spiritual life because I know it transformed my life. It saved my life, and hopefully in some small measure I can pay that back. Thank you all for being on this meeting. Please stick around if you're new. It can happen for you too. Thanks.
And I thank you. Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 35 there, that
Babylonia.
Third paragraph?
Barbara E.
Okay, I have Babylonia.
Barbara
and I have
E.
Barbara E.
Sandy T. from California.
And who was right before Sandy T. from California?
Madison
M. Could you try that again? Monica?
Madison M.
Oh, Madison M?
Yeah.
All right. So I have Babylonia, Barbara E., Madison N., Sandy T., and who is the other voice in there?
Tamara C.
Martha O.
Becca O.
Martha O. in Vancouver.
Was that Martha O?
Yes. Thank
okay,
you.
Very good. Okay, I have Babylonia, Barbara E., Madison N., Sandy T., Tamara C., and Martha O. Did I miss anyone? Okay, Babylonia, please go ahead and share with us.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. And this is day 75 of my abstinence. I had to restart because I was binging on healthy foods and being dishonest and calling it abstinence. But now I have entire abstinence, and I'm very grateful for it, and I don't want to let it go. I just recently came back from a trip from France and Spain, and I was really worried how I was going to stay abstinent on this trip. But my sponsor encouraged me that God would take care of me and that the point is to have fun. So I went with faith, and God did take care of me. In fact, there was a lady who's a family friend who's also in OA who was there, and we talked. And I really felt like I grew along spiritual lines because I'm a shy person, and at the wedding, I was kind of keeping to myself, but once she came up to me and she was like, you know, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody cares about what other people think of them. But what program teaches us is to go out there and to love others and to be the one who loves. And so I've been really meditating on the prayer of St. Francis for this past week and trying to put myself out there to be the one who loves and kind of unconditionally without expecting anything in return. And for me, that's what abstinence is, not just putting down the food, but helping others and staying connected to God. And although my program isn't perfect, like I have COVID and I'm outside walking, even though I'm on my third day of recovery, I only have like a head cold, but I still wanted to walk. But I'm very grateful for this program. I'm in love with this program. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Babylonia A. from California. Barbara E., it's your turn, followed by Madison N.
Good morning, everyone. Barbara E., New Jersey, a volume critical level compulsive overeater. And I truly believe that for me, many meetings mean many chances, and few meetings mean few chances, and no meetings mean no chances. And I don't have to worry about failures. I worry about the chance I miss if I don't even try. So There are no guarantees for anyone, that's my opinion, but there are opportunities. It's up to me. I know I'll be a compulsive overeater today and tomorrow and always, and I had to accept that my main problem really did center in my mind. I fixate on an insane idea that I needed something sweet or greasy or salty and go with it, and I couldn't stop thinking about it until I bought it and then went to another store for more. And then when I wanted to stop stuffing my face with food, I couldn't. I persisted in the delusion that I could and I would someday be able to eat like a normie, and that idea had to be smashed. And when the illusion that food, lots of food, would solve my problems was blown out of the water, I surrendered. There was nothing left for me but to bend down to pick up the spiritual toolkit and to ask, no, plead for help. I knew I couldn't go on. I was a crazy person. I was selfish, self-centered, isolated, and lonely, and I couldn't stop eating excessively. My family walked on eggshells around me. They didn't know which Barbara they'd get one day, the good Barbara or the one who was a rageaholic. So today I know that my higher power has infinite and unconditional love for me and gives me everything I need, not necessarily everything I want. And if God seems farther away when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, who moves? And I have to grow where I'm planted. And religion is not for people who don't want to go to hell. Spirituality is for people who have been to hell and don't want to go to back. So I wish you all a wonderful Tuesday. Thank you for doing service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Madison N., it's your turn, followed by Sandy T.
Hi there, Madison M., as in Mary, recovered in Maryland. I really love the part of this passage where it says, to his consternation, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. Consternation stood out. If defined, it's a feeling of anxiety or dismay, typically at something unexpected. And this has been, consternation has been a large part of my recovery. My story has a lot of relapse, and that relapse ended when I realized I had a spiritual problem. I thought I had done the spiritual part. I didn't realize how much I was still controlling things. And every relapse that I had was while I was alone with my special needs nonverbal child. And it was after one of these relapses where, to my consternation, I had found myself in the food again, banging my hand on the bar like, suddenly this happened, that my forehead literally touched the ground, and I asked the God of my understanding to please help me. It was the most honest prayer I had ever prayed, and my program has entirely changed since then. My abstinence has entirely changed. I think that it's really easy sometimes to go through the motions and check the spiritual boxes, but it wasn't until that moment where I had to feel for myself that something was spiritually broken. I was clutching control on everything. It took that breaking point to finally do the spiritual work and really connect on a deeper level. And I love this reminder that I have to do that or I can be right back in that place. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Madison N. from Maryland. Sandy T., it's your turn, followed by Tamara C. Star 1, Sandy. May I be heard?
Hi, everybody. This is Sandy T from California. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, everybody, who makes this possible. What sticks out for me in this reading is spiritual life and what that means to me. And at step 11, where it talks about increasing my spiritual awareness, those things keep me level, like the ballast on a ship or the things that keep you solid on ground. I went through a great deal of days in the last 2 years where I was very, very imbalanced because of the pain medicine that I was having to take. And it's a scary place to be. But with spiritual awareness, you're looking at those spiritual principles of honesty and love and faith and hope. Those are what you're working with. That's the kind of God that I have, the God of my understanding. He works by those principles. He is not a liar. My disease is a liar. And I was looking more and more closely to my own honesty and the fact that I was picking and eating food while I was making dinner, that I was not measuring, that I was not writing down, that I was not claiming. So I was not honest. And once I put my pride aside and admitted to it, it's been ever so much better. Someone mentioned a rageaholic, and I was watching a veterinary program last night with a chihuahua that was just scared to death. And they give that mean, horrible chihuahua snarl with the teeth showing, and I thought, oh my God, that was me. That's me when the food is taking precedence over my life. No wonder my husband was so scared of me and still is. He doesn't know when I'm going to turn into this witch. So I have to be self-disciplined and work every day with persistence to be aware of my spiritual program. Thank you for being there. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy T. from California. Tamara C., please share with us, followed by Martha O.
Thanks, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. Jim. Tamara. I can relate to Jim. And at the top of the page, it tells me that this is an example of some of the mental states that precede a relapse. This is the crux of my problem. So this is what it's like for me when I'm abstinent but not recovered and I'm headed for a relapse. So like Jimmy had this charming family, he's lost it. He had inherited a business, he's lost it just to, you know, because of a few years of drinking. And he's found himself in an asylum and then he found program. So that makes me think of, you know, food created a lot of problems for me, and then I found OA. And Jim probably went to meetings. Maybe he made some phone calls. He got sober. He made a beginning with the steps. Things started looking up. He got his family back. He got a job and failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And so for me, I went through the steps after a fashion. I didn't really learn how to live in the steps, but I did my best, and I tried to keep up prayer and meditation for step 11. I didn't get step 10 at all. I thought I would like get through the steps, be a changed person, be able to manage my life and my food and move on with my life. But for people like Jim and myself who have this nervous disposition, we have to have a daily rearrangement, a daily psychic change, a daily reconnection with the loving hand of a higher power. It's vital. It's our only defense against relapse. And I was curious about this nervous disposition that Jim and I have, and I looked it up, and one definition is it's a tendency to feel apprehensive. It can be a combination of excitement, dread, and anxiety. I can really relate to that. My sponsor encouraged me to even do 10 steps on excitement. And it can be triggered by both positive and negative experiences. So I need to reduce this nervous disposition, and I can find a way to escape, which for me would be food, which is just a temporary escape and really makes the problem worse in the long run, or I can find a way to settle down that part of my brain. And for me, that's a connection to a higher power through the steps. And this this rewires my brain so I don't find it necessary to head to the food and relapse. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Martha O., it's your turn to share.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for everyone doing service today. My name is Martha O. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Vancouver, Canada. And I'm so excited that this was the reading today because I feel like in one sentence, it just of the entire pattern of my recovery in OA, all went well for a time, but she failed to enlarge her spiritual life. For whatever reason, I've been able to hold on to strong sobriety in my other program for over 17 years now, whereas in this recovery in OA, with all the varieties of my eating disorder, I've just had these long periods of time or short periods of time where everything feels good, like I understand, I've learned, I've done the steps again, and then I just fail to enlarge my spiritual life, and I enjoy like coasting on the good feelings that I've had, and I just cut one thing after another or stop prioritizing it, and the half a dozen times in rapid succession that has happened to me too, and then I guess the hope that I want, and every time this happens, I feel like it can never happen again because I get back, thank God, you know, I've never left OA. I get back, I start doing the things that worked and reconnecting and drawing on the incredible support and love and experience of all of you. And then I, find that, get back on the path. But I think the hope that I want to share with all of you today, and I just, this is such a good reminder of it, is I love enlarging my spiritual life. And I love that we can actually kind of binge on recovery, and it's the best kind of binge. And I find once I'm back in the middle of a practice and working 10, 11, and 12, it is just like this beautiful upward spiral, sort of self-perpetuating cycle of it. It feels so good to keep doing it and want to keep doing more. And you know, this meeting is such a great part of it. I don't share here a lot, but I listen all the time, and it always feels like such a hand of God experience. Like everything I need to hear and learn and feel comes right through these lines every morning. And you are all wonderful. I love you, even if I don't know you. And I'm wishing you all a blessed and beautiful day. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. Thank you so much, Martha O., and to everyone who shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thanks, Tom. Tamara C. from Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.